together.
It's the Big Interview.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
This is big news. What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
Long chats with big brains, meant to give you a better view of the big picture as money life goes. Literally.
Go big or go.
Talking.
Yes, we are, and we're going big time today with Ron Sanchez, Chief Investment Officer at Fiduciary Trust Company International. If you want more information, it's fiduciarytrust.com. But if you go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page and you find Ron Sanchez there, you'll find a link directly to his outlook for 2017, and that will give you a little bit more of the information on things that we're going to discuss today. Ron Sanchez, welcome to Money Life.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm well, and I'm glad that you're here, because truthfully, we are already, you know, 6 weeks into the year, and the vast majority of economic forecasts that were made back at the turn of the year. Well, it's not that they're wrong. It's just that we haven't seen any sort of real progress on any of the political agendas. So nobody knows if we're going to reach them. And the vast majority of stock market forecasts, well, quite honestly, they didn't expect this rally to continue this long, if at all. So how much 6 weeks into the year do you look back and go, yeah, I'm pretty comfortable with my outlook? And how much do you look back and go, ooh, well, you know, at least everybody else is wrong?
So I'm pretty comfortable with our outlook, even 6 weeks in. Because I think we had more reasonable expectations between the narrative, that is 2017, about the possibilities, and the operative word here, possibilities, about a much more robust legislative agenda. And so it's probably not reasonable to expect so much to happen in 100 days, and that it takes a long time to move from policy design, well, policy rhetoric to policy design, to policy enactment. And so I think investors have to be a little more patient and a little more reasonable about the legislative process here as it unfolds into 2017. And so 2017, as we expect it to be, is going to be one of them have the highest uncertainty with respect to policy. But at the end, we believe that in the aggregate, because there's a lot of speculation about the various parts, we're talking about the potential for sweeping legislative enactment on tax reform, both business and individual, potentially repatriation, potentially trade developments, and maybe most importantly, deregulation. And so we're seeing hints of that and some early design about that, but it does take a lot of time, and I do think a lot of the economic impact will be backloaded, meaning the second half of 2017. And I think what markets are telling you in early 2017 is that they have a fair amount of confidence that something will get done. And we have been operating in a period of legislative gridlock or paralysis for almost 7 years. So enthusiasm and sentiment definitely is improved and most likely is warranted.
But does that also mean that if some of that stuff is wrong, as you point out, the market is pricing in that this stuff will get done. It may get done over the dead bodies of a couple of people who are opposed to it, but it is legislatively set to be able to be done. If for some reason we wind up seeing some of the political rest result in it not getting done, does that add a huge element of risk and volatility to what you've already said is, you know, legislatively uncertain and the most legislatively uncertain we've seen in a long time?
Well, it certainly does from a volatility perspective. We certainly haven't seen that the first 6 weeks. It's actually been kind of interesting as we start to move to a period of realization about how difficult it is to move the dial. I would have thought we would have seen much more volatility in markets, as you well know, from a volatility standpoint, is quite muted. So again, to my earlier comment, I think markets are, for the time being, pretty comfortable that something will get done. As far as your comment or question about risk or setback if we don't see enough policy enactment throughout 2017. There is certainly a risk from a market standpoint, and certainly economically, but I'm comforted by the fact that I don't believe that from our economic outlook is based exclusively on the Trump plan. What I would argue is that 2016 was an inflection point that will continue into 2017 from an economic standpoint. And what I mean by that is I believe we're already pre-election. We're emerging from a slow and low nominal growth rate that has been so persistent over the last couple of years. And I believe that started to occur already in the second half of 2016. And the economic data here in 2017 is also very good. So I'm comforted by the fact that I think I have a improving trend line from an economic perspective, and it can be enhanced by pro-growth policies that are possible throughout 2017. If I didn't have the original base case that I was already experiencing an improving economic backdrop, I'd be more concerned about the risk associated with possibly the lack of passage or policy implementation in the upcoming year.
Let's move from the economy from a policy standpoint when it comes to the government to the policy standpoint of the Fed and what that's going to have. Which is your bigger concern right now? The Fed and rising interest rates, or the administration and its ability to carry through on its promises?
That's interesting. I think the probably more on the policy side, because I think there's a greater degree of clarity around the Fed. As we move into 2017, as I mentioned, I believe we're moving from a deflationary environment to a reflationary environment. And so with that backdrop of improving economic fundamentals and the waning influences of deflation starting to improve, the Federal Reserve will be in a much better position to adjust monetary policy, or what's referred to as a normalization. They wanted to do that last year in 2016, but had to put that program, if you will, on hold based on some of the earlier economic data that we saw in 2016. But I think the conditions will be prevailing enough that they'll move. They'll move gradually. The market thinks they'll move two times. The Fed is advertising three times. And I think the answer is, you know, depending on economic data, obviously somewhere in that neighborhood of two to three. If that's the case, I think markets can tolerate that because, as you know, we're moving off of acutely low levels of interest rates. And so a gradual and modest rise in policy and interest rates still allows, from an investment standpoint, somewhat of a sweet spot. Now, if inflation becomes much, much stronger here in 2017 and the Fed is behind the curve and needs to move more than gradual, then it becomes problematic. But that is not that's not our base case. I think it's a slow, gradual, and modest rise in inflation and an appropriate response by the Federal Reserve, and that should be supportive of financial markets.
Okay. How about the strong dollar and its impact? And when you put this all together, when you're looking at modest growth with all of the uncertainty, how much does that change your view on investing domestically versus spreading your wings and investing internationally?
So I think there's a, as I mentioned earlier, that our expectations are that we're going to see a resynchronization of global growth. As you know, the U.S. economy has been the best performing economy, both from an economic standpoint and a capital markets perspective, since the credit crisis. And when we look outside, I think we're going to see a broadening of global growth. And we have seen, for instance, internationally, both Europe has experienced negligible growth rates over the last couple of years. The same for Japan, if not the best part of two decades, you've seen deflationary factors there. And emerging markets have declined from an economic standpoint. They're still growing, but at a decelerated rate. I believe outside of the U.S., that's bottomed, that we're seeing a convergence of global growth to the U.S. For instance, in Europe, for the first time in 2016, you see very little written about this. Economic growth in the Eurozone was 2%, the same as the U.S. And so by virtue of that, I think there are opportunities for the first time since the credit crisis for investors to look outside the U.S. market, and in particular, look outside the S&P 500. It has been the best performing sector. It has outperformed Europe for five straight years on a 10% annualized basis. So extraordinary deviation from away from that. And I think as I look out over the next couple of years, that one of our better investment theses is that we're going to see better opportunities outside of the S&P 500.
Well, I know that there's a lot of members of my audience who will be disappointed in that. They won't necessarily be surprised, however, but they might be disappointed because they love being able to stay home and feel like it's the best place to be. Ron, this has been terrific. I have more questions. What I don't have is more time. So I hope you come back and do this with us again at some point.
I certainly will. Thank you.
Ron Sanchez, everybody. He is the Chief Investment Officer at Fiduciary Trust Company International. For more information, go to fiduciarytrust.com. If you then add a slash in Outlook 2017, you will get directly to Ron's Outlook for this year. So if you want more information on what we were talking about. All right, we just hit the halfway point on the Tuesday, February 21st edition of Money Life. That means there's much more to come, including a little later, the Market Call with Jeff Damaso from Advisor Investments. Up next, however, it's Matt Schultz from CreditCards.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.